Heavenly Father, we ask you to prepare our hearts for this message that you've laid in my heart. Lord, I ask you also to hide me behind the cross. Let nothing of me be shown. Just, Father, I pray that you'll just use me today as your messenger, that I can share your word in such a way that will be effective. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every one of us gets hurt at one time or another. It's part of living in this fallen world. People can say some hurtful words. Whoever termed that phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words can't harm me. Oh, yes, they can. They can do more harm than the sticks and stones do. The sticks and stones cause injury on the outside that can heal, but the thing that happens when people say something happens on the inside, and that doesn't heal very easily. In fact, it can turn to bitterness and fester. And like Steve mentioned in his Sunday school lesson, like a splinter that's left in the skin, it'll fester, get nasty. And that's what happens when people say things that they should keep their mouth shut. Sometimes when people open their mouth, it's just nothing but toxic. You ever been around toxic people? I've been. I can't even mention some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth. I can tell you one thing, I'm always was glad to get out of their presence. I don't want to be around somebody like that, that has toxic language like that. Sooner or later, the toxic language will affect you. It will affect you. It'll leave residue. Sometimes things you hear leaves residue. It's why we have to be careful what we watch and what we listen to. It can be very, very toxic. People can say hurtful words, sometimes thoughtlessly, but sometimes deliberately. They can say things. They are abused by these words. They can be embarrassed by them. They can be treated unfairly because of them and may even inflict physical harm. And there's certainly no way to avoid all possible hurts. But I can tell you that God wants us to respond to them in ways that will bring him honor and glory and bring healing to free us from anger or resentment or bitterness or an unforgiving spirit. When we don't deal with the hurts that come our way, they will linger in our soul. They will end up poisoning our soul because they leave residue. And despite the attempts to try to suppress them, soon, if unattended, they will solidify in our minds. And they will end up dominating our emotions and enslave us. And this is something that God doesn't want us to continue to bear. It's a load he doesn't want us to bear. And so he has provided a solution. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now Jesus said when he leaves, he will send the Comforter. In his name, which is the Holy Spirit. When you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your heart. That's why we're told constantly to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you say things, hear things, watch things you shouldn't be doing? You know the Holy Spirit is right there with you, watching it with you. Listen to me. Are you hearing me? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Some that have died and went to heaven said they've seen the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful, pretty blue. This Holy Spirit is a real pretty blue. I don't know. Someday we'll get to know. We'll get to find out, won't we? I just read a book that said that the Holy Spirit was a real pretty blue. Well, for everybody that likes blue, that was a head hit, wasn't it? I don't know, but I know that the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. Repent and be baptized, Peter said, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit is with you. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You have been sealed with for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other as God in Christ has forgiven you. You see, some hurts in life are minor and can be easily overlooked or quickly forgiven. Steve said, what was it? It might have ruffled your feathers. Okay, some of us get our feathers ruffled, but I can tell you that sometimes, depending on what's said, more than your feathers get ruffled. My grandpa had bandy roosters, and I'll tell you, they did more than ruffle feathers. Do you know what? They picked on one another till they died. Some of you know that. You know what I'm talking about. People can die inside. Are you listening to me? Don't you kill somebody inside, because that has happened by things you say. And God holds you accountable for it. Every word that men shall speak, you shall give an account thereof. I didn't write that. The Lord did. So some things are overlooked, quickly forgiven. Others are deeply wounded. Those who suffer from them usually have a hard time letting them go. Oh, they know what the Lord has said and what the Bible says. Sometimes the hurt may become a source of security or maybe identity. And the idea of letting it go seems more threatening than the danger that can cause their soul. The problem with not letting something go that somebody said was very hurtful is that our mind starts to repeat it, and it gets played over and over. Some of you that are holding on to some things you shouldn't be holding on to know exactly what I'm saying. Your mind just keeps playing it over. The very word that was said to you that hurt you so bad. You see, unforgiveness is a natural response to offenses. But you see, as believers, we're called to live in the power of the Spirit and not living the way the old man did in fallen humanity. That's the old man. That's a reference to the old man. When we refuse to forgive as our Lord commands us to do, the hurt becomes a spiritual cancer deep within us. And on the surface, things might look fine, but I can tell you, the poison is seeping into your soul. So here's God's solution. To handle these lingering hurts, the Bible says to remove or put away these sinful responses like bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice. As I said, malice is the intention to try to hurt somebody to get them back for what they said to you. And so instead of harboring these attitudes, we need to respond to the Spirit that's with kindness and compassion and forgiveness. It means that we must stop feeding our minds with the wrong that was done to us. Stop it. Stop playing it back again. This is what people do that hang on to it. They don't want to let it go, and so they keep playing it. They keep playing it. This terrible thing that was said to me. Even when we pray, we could be guilty of it. If we remind the Lord of how much we've been hurt or how bad that person is who caused our pain, and we want revenge and we want to get them back, that's not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. You see, attitudes of anger and resentment and bitterness and malice cannot be contained. They will spill inwardly and turn to poison. And it will come as an outflow, even onto the very innocent of people that we don't want to hurt. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you're full of bitterness, it tells on you. I hear it in your language. I know what's in your heart because you just told me. I know what's there. You were hurt. And you're going to hurt somebody else because you were hurt. Shame on you. That's revenge. You're following the old man that needs to be crucified. Crucify the old man. Get rid of him. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Attitudes. The only solution is to deal with them as God says. And if we are able to do this immediately, healing can come very quickly. But if we delay, there is going to be a progression downward. Let me talk to you about the progression. If you keep hanging on to it and don't let it go, and you begin to nurture the hurt, and you keep replaying it and replaying it and replaying it in your mind, and now it affects your emotions, and it affects everybody you come in contact with. If you're someone that's been hanging on to something like this, and you don't have any friends, guess what? Your friends found out that you got so much bitterness in you, they don't want to hang around with you anymore. You got too much bitterness. Who wants to hang around with somebody that's got bitterness? You might even develop a degree of hatred toward the offender. You might harbor resentment and hatred. Oh, it could start out to be very passive. And by what I mean by saying passive is you're just not going to have anything to do with that person anymore. That's passive. You just don't want to have anything to do with them anymore. Or it can become very aggressive with a desire to make the other suffer. Why? Because you hurt me so bad, I want you to hurt. I want you to hurt. You hurt me, I want you to hurt. Is that a godly attitude? Is that a Christian attitude? No. You know better. So why don't you try to do better? We can't praise or worship the Lord because we're miserable inside. I thought about this message as we were singing the worship song. You can't praise and worship the Lord because you're just miserable inside. The word of God and the truth of God's word doesn't sink into your heart and mind anymore. Your conscience has become seared. The word of God that used to bring change doesn't affect you anymore. That's bitterness. That's resentment. God's word can't pierce your heart anymore. That's a bad place to be in. That's bad. You don't want to find yourself there. What's caused your bitterness? There's lots of things. We usually blame our bad attitudes on the wrong that's been done to us. But you see, no one can cause us to have an unforgiving spirit. You see, we alone are in charge of that department. We alone are accountable for our reactions. You see, anger and malice come from our heart. And when they spring up, we can either accept them or we can reject them. If we allow these negative emotions to encompass us, they'll gain control and they'll begin to overflow into every aspect of our lives. It'll affect everything you attempt or try to do in life. If you're not careful and you have children, they'll see it and it'll affect them as well. And then they'll have to deal with it the rest of their life because of your bitterness. Bitterness and resentment, anger and malice do not fit our identity as children of God. Our lives are to be characterized by love. We can't claim to love God if we hate others. The one who loves God must also love his brother and his sister. Wow. What did I do with my cord? I circled three scriptures in our Sunday school lesson this morning that had to do with my message today. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24, he that loveth me and keepeth not my sayings, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. In other words, if you claim to be a Christian and you hate your brother or your sister, you're a fake. And it don't wash. Period. It don't wash. You ain't fooling anybody but yourself, because you don't fool God. God sees your heart. Don't call yourself a Christian and hate your brother, because that don't wash. Doesn't work. You see, the one who loves God must also love his brother and sister. And this command doesn't only apply to people who are lovable, by the way. It's easy to love somebody that loves you. But it applies even to those who hurt or wrong us at times. Love is for one another. It's supposed to be characterizing us as disciples of Christ, according to John's writing, 13 and 35. And this isn't something that we can do in our own strength. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us. You see, he's the one who will enable us to lay aside our negative emotions and forgive the one who hurt us, so the healing can take place. When we walk in the spirit, not in the flesh, we're able to overlook offenses and remove sinful attitudes and respond with kindness and compassion and forgiveness. You see, the greatest motivator we have for forgiveness is Jesus Christ. On the cross, he took our sins upon himself, and he suffered the punishment that we deserved. And he offers us all full forgiveness. How can we hold anything against anyone else, knowing that our offenses against God are so much greater, yet he forgave us? So here are the consequences of an unforgiving spirit. It damages your emotions. Healing comes with forgiveness. But when we hold on to these hurts, it steals our joy and our contentment and replaces them with bitterness and anger and resentment. Good emotions are frozen, and we can't love or accept love from others or God. Wow. It destroys our fellowship with the Lord. You see, you can't hold on to sinful attitudes and be right with God. Your prayers will be useless. Heaven will be as brass. Your love for him will grow cold. Gratitude begins to dry up. Your praise is empty. The only way to be set free is through the healing of forgiveness. It will destroy human relationships. There's no way to hide this bitterness, resentment, and hostility from your family or friends or coworkers or other believers. It's impossible for you to hide it. you won't be able to hide it. And these attitudes will poison all of your relationships, every one of them, including the relationship you have with your spouse. It will affect all of your relationships. And finally, it'll also harm your health. The attitudes and emotions we carry affect us physically in many variety of ways. And sometimes we seek relief from doctors, but they can never, and will they ever, be able to fix the root of the problem of bitterness. But there's forgiveness. And God commands us to forgive one another. It doesn't mean we're going to forget it. It doesn't mean denying it or excusing it or tolerating it. It means putting aside the debt and no longer holding it against the offender. There's no guarantee that everything's going to be right in the relationship. We're not responsible for that other person's actions. We are only responsible for us, for ourselves. Our responsibility is to obey God by forgiving. What if the one you hurt is not available? Let me tell you something about these things and family feuds and things that go on. I've been able to see aside families where one was dying. And I'll usually always ask the question, is everybody here that should be? Is everybody in this room that should be here? Has there been any family disagreements, any family problems through the years? Because I tell you what I've seen. I've seen that rebellious child who had problems with the one dying show up, come back, and get it right. And when that happened, that loved one left like this. Just like that. Just like that. So if loved ones are hanging on, as we say, maybe something needs to be fixed. And if it needs to be fixed, let's get it fixed. Get her fixed. What if this one is no longer with us, has died? Well, I guess you can still forgive by imagining that that person's sitting in a chair across from you as you offer forgiveness. Because you see, the forgiveness has to do with you. Has to do with you. Not the one that's not here anymore. It has to do with you. You're the one that's got to make it right. Well, maybe they're still living, but they live somewhere else. Write a letter. You can send a letter. Take care of it that way. So, every head bowed, every eye closed, I reached into my message. And I'm not looking because it's not my business. It's the Lord's business. Now it's the Lord's business. And I ask you a series of questions. I'll ask for a response at the end of my questions. Have you suffered a deep hurt that's still affecting you today? How have you dealt with it? How has rehearsing the wrong in your mind affected your pain? If you've adopted the sinful attitudes in Ephesians 4:31, how have they damaged your life and your relationships with others and with our Lord? And lastly, what stops you from forgiving? What steps can you take to begin this process? My eyes are closed. This message was for everyone that's here today. You say, Pastor, I think that message was for me. I'm not sure if I really forgave, and I'm just not sure. And I want to be sure. Would you slip your hand up? I want to be sure that I have forgiven. My hand's up. Is yours? I'm not looking. This is between you and the Lord. I want to be sure. I don't want anything between me and the Lord, nothing. When I stand before him, I want things to be taken care of, and I can take care of it right now. I have my hand raised because I want to be sure. Still not looking. Lord, you've seen those who've put their hands up, and they need your help. They're not sure whether they've really forgiven or not. They're not sure. I think I forgave them. I hope I did. But I want to be sure that I did. Lord, search my heart today. I want to be sure that I have found forgiveness for them. They hurt me, and I didn't like it. But I want to be sure that I have forgiven them today. And I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this message today. It spoke to my heart today. And I trust that it spoke to many hearts today. Thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord, bless you.